Hey, Dirt. I thought I told you, buddy. Nobody wants you around.
Hey, you're talking to my guy all wrong. It's the wrong tone. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Hey, everybody. This is Shane from the DVD Marquee. I'm joined by
Jeff Reynolds.
And we've got another exciting show coming up for you. This time around, we're looking at four titles from Fox Home Entertainment.
Two of which are 25th anniversary editions, two of which have yet to be released. How about that? We're looking to the past and we're looking to the future.
Back to the future. Actually, we should say we're looking at five films because there really is one is a two-film set.
Oh, we're really going to look at it?
Well, we're not going to talk about it for long, but we're going to get into it. So without any further ado, here we go. We're going to kick things off with a George C. Scott war movie.
What's going on?
This guy's a maniac, Brian. He rammed a sheriff's car.
What's the problem?
The problem is this asshole just shot up the town. Now, I didn't buy any of this to blow people away, for Christ's sake.
We're here, ain't we? We're not messing around with townies or sitting in jail. We're here.
All right, come on. Did you get the food?
Sure did, half of it anyway.
All right, half is better than nothing.
The guy's a maniac, Brian. He rammed a sheriff.
Damn right. It's all my duty and I did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard was a clip from Taps, a pretty darn interesting picture that brought about some pretty big names.
It sure did. There's a lot of fresh faces that we see today are the leading stars in movies today, and a couple of them Academy Award winners now.
Absolutely. We got Timothy Hutton leading a troop consisting of Sean Penn and Tom Cruise.
That's right. That's just two of the familiar faces in this movie. There's a few others that today play much bigger roles in movies. They're still not the A-game, if you will, compared to Tom Cruise and Sean Penn. But Timothy Hutton had just won an Academy Award before starting shooting this film. He accepted the award and then flew to the shoot, literally the next morning. And that's one of the things he talks about in one of the extra features is, he said, I just accepted the award for Best Actor for Ordinary People, and then I had to hop on the plane and fly to the set. And I thought that was kind of cool. But I've got to talk about Tom Cruise in this movie.
We both have to talk about Tom Cruise in this movie.
And even the director, in the commentary and in the making of, or the generation featurette, if you will, says that he was not cast in the role that he was.
No, he was actually just an extra. He was one of the young men who was going to be part of the troops. And through the training process, he just stood out.
Yeah, during the rehearsals, yeah.
Yeah.
And he almost didn't accept the job because one of his friends had the role and he didn't want him to get fired.
Yeah, and then they basically said to him, Cruise, this is your career.
Yeah.
And so,
and the crazy started with Taps. Because he looks and acts crazy in this movie.
Well, there's one scene in particular. For those of you who have seen it, there's one particular scene where he's in a window and he's letting loose this massive gun. And he turns to the camera and he has a couple little lines. And I could have sworn I saw him jumping on a couch. In my mind, I could see him jumping on a couch.
Let's not get on Tom Cruise for jumping on the couch anymore. You know what? I enjoy his movies. His personal life, I'm going to leave it out of this.
Yeah, same. Okay. That was my only shot. I could visualize it, so yeah, I thought I'd make
you had to take the pot shot, eh? Had to take the pot shot. But then Sean Penn acts out one scene where he has a pretend microphone and he's pretending to interview, and that's some of the stuff we see Sean Penn doing 20 years after the fact.
Yeah, only it's a lot more refined.
Much more refined.
Yeah.
So you can see even Tom Cruise, his facial expressions, his movements and everything, pretty much built up to where he is now.
They are reflective of a core that he has been able to establish through his entire career.
Yeah, and he actually, I think, was probably the best performance in this movie.
I agree. Even stepping above Timothy Hutton, although Timothy Hutton did a great job, you know, I found Tom was the only one who was really solidified in that cocoon of a character.
I agree. And then, of course, we have the great George C. Scott from Patton playing their general at the base.
Yeah, that was good to see.
And the only thing that I kind of didn't like about this movie, the concept was kind of unique. But the one thing I didn't like about this movie is how they eliminated George C. Scott from the movie.
Yeah. I actually happened to notice that while I was watching the commentary. Because the first time I watched it, well, this is the first time I had seen the film.
Me as well.
Yeah. And so when I was watching the commentary, I noticed it. And you're referring to the fact that when the gun was pulled and shot, it was not actually
him,
George C. Scott,
holding the gun.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's got the gun in his hand.
Yeah.
That kind of didn't make sense. Like, if it would have hit the ground and he picked it up, I think it would have been executed better, but I think that's the only part of this movie that faltered for me.
Yeah.
And then the ending, when you talked about Tom Cruise shooting that gun, I did not expect the one thing that happened there. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen this movie, even though it's old, but I did not expect that ending.
Yeah.
Not much more you can add to that.
No, I can just agree with you without ruining it.
Yeah. Now, the audio on this DVD, 4.0. Three across the front, one in the back, basically using both rear speakers, or your three rear speakers as one. Not too bad.
Not too bad. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more isolation in the rear speakers, though, with the helicopters and stuff when they do come in, yeah, and the tanks driving around and the trucks. And
this movie's kind of older, though, so, you know,
they could have remixed it.
They could have, but it's not that big of a title that it's worth it.
I don't know. Given the lineup and the fact that, you know,
besides the lineup,
strong start.
Would you have gone out and rented this movie or bought this movie before?
Maybe. If I saw it for like $11 or something.
Maybe. No. That's basically where that's going. The commentary with the director, Harold Becker, kind of bored me.
Absolutely. It was completely a play-by-play, for the most part.
For the most part. And those types of commentaries are extremely bleh.
Yeah, and I did find that all of the interesting details he brings forth, which are few and far between, are all present in the extra features.
Exactly.
The other extra features.
The other extra features. Like the sounding the call to arms, mobilizing the TAPS generation featurette. That's probably the best featurette on this DVD.
Exactly. It's half an hour long, and it covers everything from the origins of the production, the casting, anecdotal material, everything.
And we get to see a current Timothy Hutton.
Yeah, he's
so current interviewed. It would have been nice to see Tom Cruise and Sean Penn reflect back on what's really their first movie roles.
Yeah, given Tom Cruise's personal stuff, I don't think he wanted to go back and visit that. But Sean Penn, I would have liked to have heard what Sean Penn had to say. I really respect him as an actor. He does a lot of great stuff.
For sure. The other one that I found interesting was The Bugler's Cry, The Origin of TAPS. I did not know the origin.
Yeah, neither did I. And that was a really nice little addition to this title.
Yeah.
It tells you everything you could possibly know beyond what you think you want to know about the call. Except basically a lesson on how to play it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. They even got rid of some rumor that, unfortunately, Ripley's Believe It or Not aired on television on their last show, and it kind of caught on as truth. And we'll leave that to the extra feature to tell you about. There's a bunch of trailers on here and TV spots, but I'm going to recommend it.
I'm going to recommend definitely renting it, unless, you know, you're a real fanatic about these old war movies. Again, I think I've stated it before that I'm not the biggest war movie fan. I'm on the fence with it.
I'm just going to recommend it, and then people can decide to buy or rent on their own.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to look at one of the craziest cult movies in the last 30 years.
And I don't think, Shane, you realize how crazy this cult film really, really is.
You know what? After going through the extra features on this 25th anniversary edition, I think I do.
Folks, we're talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the time warp, drinking those moments when the black pit would hit me and the boys would be calling.
Now, this is my first viewing of the film. I'd never seen it before, and this is probably going to shock all our listeners. I didn't go out of my way to see it, even though I knew the whole cult following behind it. I never really was curious about it until it arrived at my front door. And then I was like, you know what? This is going to be my first opportunity to sit down and see what all the fuss is about. And I have to say, I enjoyed this movie.
Isn't it fun?
Now, I don't see myself dressing up and acting out the scenes or anything like that. And I know you've said you've done that when we were talking before the show.
Yeah, I've actually participated as one of the live performers at the special evening showing. And that's a lot of fun to have people, you know, throwing stuff at the stage and they're interacting with the movie.
Yeah, and let's go back. That's something that they threw on this 25th anniversary edition, which you're saying is basically just a re-release of the 25th anniversary edition that came out a few years ago.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
In a more concise packaging.
Yeah, in a more concise, because they actually package it with the sequel, Shock Treatment. And you know what? You can just leave Shock Treatment on the shelf if you really want. The nice thin pack casing with the two discs in it for Rocky Horror is really what this package is all about.
Exactly. I agree. I sat through it all, and I regret doing it.
And there's quite a bit. I was shocked at how much is on this disc.
Oh, there's huge amounts, huge amounts. I mean, first of all, we have a commentary, which I actually didn't know was on the 25th anniversary edition. But it's with the creator, Richard O'Brien.
And Patricia Quinn.
Yeah.
Who plays Magenta.
Yeah, and the creator also, Richard O'Brien, plays Riff Raff. And he's the character I was on stage.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of look like Riff Raff.
Come inside. Anyway, I think in order to really enjoy this commentary, you kind of really have to be one of the cult fanatics. Because there's not much info in it that applies to the streamlined public. It's all really deep inside info.
You know what? I enjoyed the commentary, though, even though I'm not a fanatic or cult follower yet.
You know, yeah, there you go. See, I was going to say, you will be if you enjoyed it.
But it was a great commentary. And the other thing is, they throw in the theatrical experience. So they've got an audio track of the fans screaming at the screen.
Yeah, the audience participation feature.
The audience participation feature.
Now, the one beef I have with this is that I think if they were actually going to record it, they should have sat down with a couple, maybe three or four people who are a little group who know pretty much everything and recorded it that way, because 90% of it, you can't understand what the hell they're saying.
That's the other thing I was going to say. There was only a couple. I only listened probably to the first 30 minutes of it, and I found myself going, what did he just say? Or what are they screaming now?
The way I wrote it down on my notes was, it's a lot of rude and cursory statements.
That's right. And the other thing they do is they got a prompter telling you what to do, what to scream, what to throw, put the newspaper over your head and stuff like that.
Yeah, the participation prompter, which is actually a lot of use in a live performance situation. We use that. And it helps tell you when to snap your gloves, and it tells you when to throw the rice, when to use the newspaper.
Yeah, it was great. I was like, that's pretty cool, especially for somebody like me who's not the cult follower and knows all this jazz. So it was like a learning experience.
And the other feature is the multi-view theater experience. Now, this incorporates clips of live footage from the live performances.
Yes, that's the one I was talking about earlier, but then I kind of went off into the other one. They put a pair of lips on the screen, and when you select it, it shows people acting out the stuff on the scene, which gives me a great idea of how
the audience
big of a cult following. Now, we're not really going to go into all the extras, because this is basically a re-release of the exact same feature a couple years ago, but the second disc has some great behind the music features from VH1. They feature Richard O'Brien, Barry Boswick, Susan Sarandon, Patricia Quinn, and Meatloaf, and I found Meatloaf's the most interesting.
Meatloaf's was the most entertaining, I think. The most interesting for me was probably, I think, actually Richard O'Brien. I really like the creator of this piece.
Yeah, I think when you're watching it at 3 o'clock in the morning, entertaining makes it more interesting.
Well, Meatloaf has a lot of stories about his involvement and all that.
Yeah, and then, of course, we get the Hot Patootie pop-up video that they played, and they throw basically all the same anecdotes that he says in his little interview, which I thought was pretty cool. And then they've also got sing-along feature, outtakes, deleted scenes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and a documentary too, the Rocky Horror double feature video show.
That was pretty good.
It was good, yeah.
It was pretty good. You get to see.
It was basically like your making of, but it spanned more. It incorporated more of the social cult aspects.
Yeah, a lot more of the cult aspect of what the movie's become. But
yeah,
you know what? If you haven't picked up this movie yet and you're looking for an excuse and you want to see the sequel, this is the first time it's released on DVD, by the way.
Shock Treatment.
Shock Treatment. go ahead and buy this set. I'm going to recommend it as a buy. I don't think there's a rent option in this movie.
Well, you can rent Rocky Horror Picture Show, but if you really want the overall aspect of what the movie is all about in a bigger picture, because you're going to watch it, if you haven't seen this, you're going to watch it and you're going to say, what the hell am I doing sitting here? Pay attention to the extra features and you'll understand why.
Now, one other thing I've got to say before we actually stop talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show is Tim Curry.
First film performance.
First film performance. And it's brilliant.
It shivers. I shiver every time. Every time I see anything involving him as Frankenfurter, I get shivers in my spine.
Yeah, just awesome. Awesome. So, recommended. That's pretty much where we're gonna stop right now, because we could talk about this for another hour, and I'm sure it would bore the hell out of you.
See, I would say recommend, but I would prefer to dictate that you go buy it.
Few people on this planet know what it is to be truly despised. Can you blame them? I earn a living fronting an organization that kills 1,200 human beings a day. 1,200 people. We're talking two jumbo jet plane loads of men, women, and children. I mean, there's Attila, Genghis, and me, Nick Naylor, the face of cigarettes.
The clip you just heard is from, personally for me, the funniest movie I've watched this year. It's all about spinning the truth, and it's Thank You for Smoking, and it stars Aaron Eckhart, Robert Duvall, Maria Bello, Adam Brody, Sam Elliott, Katie Holmes, Rob Hello, William H. Macy, and a couple of other familiar faces.
It's got one heck of a lineup.
That's putting it lightly. Trying to get all those names out, I almost choked my own words. I love this movie. The dialogue in this movie is the best dialogue in any movie I've watched this year.
I don't know about that. It was really good. It was really good. I'll give it that. I don't know if it was the best, but I think personally what I enjoyed most about the film was the social statements it made about the spinning of media material and the spinning idea of manipulating the public and that kind of stuff.
Now, how many monologues, just throw a guess, do you think Nick Naylor, played by Aaron Eckhart, had in this movie?
Well, off the top of my head, I'd probably say about a good dozen.
I'd say at least a dozen. And the way he delivers them, you can't help but be enthralled by his character.
He's got such a great, straightforward earnesty that he'll say the most outrageous thing, but it'll be completely kosher.
And you almost believe it. If you didn't know it was fake, you would believe it.
Actually, yeah, it's great because as an actor, he is doing his job not only with the characters in the movie, but with you.
Yes.
You know,
he's connecting with the audience.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do in a movie.
It really is. Especially if you're going to manipulate him as much as he manipulated me. I found myself agreeing with some pretty stupid things because of his performance.
Yeah, let's play one of the clips from his monologue right now.
Joan, how on earth would Big Tobacco profit off of the loss of this young man? Now, I hate to think in such callous terms, but if anything, we'd be losing a customer. It's not only our hope, it's in our best interest to keep Robin alive and smoking.
Now, this movie is directed by Jason Reitman. First movie for him?
I think so, yeah. It's his first big
feature.
Yeah.
And in the commentaries, he's boring.
Yeah, he's got some interesting detail to give forth, but nothing spectacular. Good enough to listen to, in my opinion.
I couldn't. I had to turn them off.
Well, I got through it.
And I found the one with Aaron Eckhart and
David Koechner.
Yeah, David Koechner. Boring as well. Like, David Koechner was trying to make jokes, and they just weren't coming off funny.
See, for me, it was different. I disagree. I found it was more energetic and entertaining. You know, I found it held my interest.
Not for me. The movie held my interest more than you, and you liked the commentaries about it. How ironic.
I think the one thing, though, about the difference between the two commentaries, that Jason, is it Reitman or Reitman? He doesn't have necessarily a lot of information to give. It's the same way with the second one, but when they don't have relevant information to give you, they're having fun. They're entertaining.
Yeah. I probably didn't get far enough to get entertained. Yeah. But William H. Macy, a lot of fun in this movie.
He always is.
David Koechner again, we got to mention him. Some of the lines he comes out with.
Without a doubt.
They're so brilliant. Maria Bello, only in it for a little bit.
Now, I just have to mention this, and the trio of them.
The Mod Squad.
The Mod Squad was a fantastic idea. Congratulations for them coming up with that little writing bit.
Merchants of Death. That was good. Adam Brody only in it for a little while.
Fantastic job.
A lot of fun. Rob Lowe was probably one of my favorite surprises.
Yeah,
for this movie,
little supporting cameo that really, you know, every second line gave you a giggle.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of his performance in Wayne's World.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I never put the two together.
But... just a little bit. It was slightly. I think this was an elevated performance from the Wayne's World one, but it was almost the same guy.
Yeah, I think it was more concise.
Yes.
It was more refined.
More direct to the point. Yeah. But let's talk Katie Holmes for a minute.
Nice chance for her to grow up on screen.
I agree. That's exactly what I was going to say. This is something completely different for Katie Holmes. She's, I think, now grown out of that teenage movie persona.
What was the last one I think she did? First Daughter, right?
First Daughter, yeah. And before that it was Batman Begins. Now, if I would have seen this before Batman Begins, I think I could have joined Katie Holmes in that movie more. But extras, there's quite a bit of extras on this. Not as much as I would have liked to have seen, but they've got America Living in Spin featurette, which is basically what this movie is about how the whole world spins everything to fit its need.
And isn't it great the way they use a lot of presidential material?
Yeah.
Presidential footage to make their points about spinning the situation at hand.
Exactly, exactly. And then they've got the entire Charlie Rose Show interview with Jason Reitman, Aaron Eckhart, Christopher Buckley, who's the author of the book this movie's based off of, and David O. Sachs, sold PayPal to eBay for $1.5 billion and went, I think I'm going to make a movie.
I found this an extremely entertaining little bit of footage. It was better than the commentaries, better than the America Living in Spin. It was all around. It covered all the numerous aspects of the film that needed to be talked about, and it didn't have any legs.
It was great, and the one thing I was shocked to find out was that this movie was made for $7 million.
With the cast.
With this cast, and then when they sold it at the Toronto International Film Festival, which is actually going on in Toronto right now, which I hope to get down there for a couple of days to check out some of the movies, they sold it for more than they made the movie for, so they were ahead of the game right off the bat.
Exactly. So good for them. Good on you, guys.
I'm going to recommend this movie. You might want to rent it first, but this would be a purchase for me.
Definitely rent it first, because my recommendation is that I'm not going to buy it.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice.
Henry, you are always welcome here. You're a part of this place.
I have news.
Is it Eric?
No, though we have been making some progress on that front. Mystique was recently apprehended.
Who's the furball?
Hank McCoy, Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, right, the secretary. Nice suit.
Henry, this is Logan. He's
Wolverine. I hear you're quite an animal.
Look who's talking.
Let's jump right into X-Men, The Last Stand.
Oh, man. All I can say is that this DVD is all kinds of awesome, folks.
A second disc would have made this DVD all kinds of awesomer.
Exactly. This is a single disc edition that everybody has to own. If you don't own the first two, I don't care.
Now let's talk about the first two, actually, really quickly. X-Men 1 came out, nice two-disc package, great set.
Fantastic.
And then they released X-Men 1.5 with a little bit more stuff on it.
I never got to see it, so.
They didn't add anything to the movie, but they added, I think that's when they added the DTSES track, which
wasn't
on the original.
Well, then I have to go get it. Damn!
And they added stuff for X2. Which, that DVD is also awesome. I was expecting to see an X2 DVD, or an X2.5 to come out before this one came out. But I covered this earlier in a podcast after I'd seen the movie, and I was a little disappointed with it. But after revisiting it, I think I enjoyed it more the second time around.
Yeah, the film.
The film.
Absolutely. My beefs with the movie itself when I first saw it was that... Well, let me put it this way, to be most politically correct, and in case you haven't seen it, the character defranchising of the film, like as far as the characters themselves.
Yeah.
The movie it gets defranchised quite a bit.
You know, you're right, Jeff. I kind of don't like where Brett Ratner took this movie and, you know, got rid of some of the key members of the cast.
Okay, you just took all of the mystery out of defranchising.
Oh, whoopity-doo.
It's okay. I'm sure everyone has seen it anyway. It made quite a bit
of
the box
office. Yeah, and if they haven't seen it, they've heard or read online those facts. But you know what? I enjoyed it a lot more this time around.
I thought it was a
fun action movie because I think my expectations weren't as high as they were going into this movie, even though when I heard Brett Ratner was taking over for Bryan Singer, my expectations dropped.
I think the biggest thing about the whole situation that most people don't realize until they'll watch it again on their home systems is that the first two movies, they provided story in a slower manner.
And built the character arcs up.
Exactly. And, yeah. Here you do get story, but it's thrown at you a lot quicker. But then again, it also keeps it in pace with the action because there is quite a lot of action.
And I think that's one of the mistakes of this movie is it was too short.
Oh, without a doubt.
Throw in another 30 minutes, and I think this movie would have been perfect.
Well, that brings us right into the deleted scenes.
Right into the deleted scenes.
Absolutely. There were three in particular that stood out in my mind that I think should have stayed in the film. One of them was the extended fight at Jean Grey's house.
Yes.
Very, very good. He comments in the deleted scene commentary that it was just too long and too much violence. And no way, man. There was some real good stuff in that.
You know what? That might have pushed it over the PG-13 rating, though. That might be why it was cut.
What, lightning through the back of somebody's head?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Just a bit, eh?
Another one was the extended Phoenix destruction at the end.
Yes.
A nice little slow pan with some stuff happening in slow-mo that wasn't in the original cut.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this movie was a lot more fun the second time around. Audio tracks on this DVD.
Okay, well, before we get into the audio track of the movie itself, let me just say, I popped this DVD in my DVD player, and lo and behold, my system came up saying, hey, Dolby Digital 5.1, and I was on the freaking menu, man. Okay? The menu is in 5.1. It was insane. There was stuff flying around my head in the menu.
Now, honestly, what did you choose, the Brotherhood or the X-Men?
At first, the first time I chose the X-Men.
Really?
Yeah.
I went Brotherhood. So that's kind of cool. When you go into the menu, there's two different flavors.
Exactly.
Now, let's get back to the audio tracks. We've got a Dolby Digital 5.1 EX track. Phenomenal.
It was good. It was good.
To put it lightly, it was good, man.
But myself, being a fan of the DTS track, I put it on the DTS 6.1 ES track, and whoopee, I had a good ride.
Yes. Great sound all around the room. The only downfall, and we were talking about this before the show, was the center rear channel in this movie didn't quite get enough in the major action sequence.
In the big climactic action sequence, yeah. I found there was a lot of ambient sound that was left out when you were right in the middle of the whole battle.
Like, the whole
literally,
yeah.
Physically situated right ground point zero. Yeah, there wasn't much in the rear center channel at the point. But then again, they may have eased back so that when you had the Dark Phoenix destruction moment, that's when a lot of stuff was coming through all the speakers. And
yeah, it was spinning the room.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best, like, suck you into the movie moments I've heard in a long time on DVD.
Yeah, I think, personally, I think the only DVD I've experienced in DTSES so far that can rival this is the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition Trilogy.
Really can't beat those, because those are tense.
You'll never beat them. But this one was close.
Something
it's like
could
9 point,
beat them.
This is 9.8. Lord of the Rings is 10. Well, until you get to 8.1.
We can't really talk about the video because we got a screener copy, and of course there's all kinds of compression junk on here. But looking at the scenes where compression wasn't noticeable, it looked pretty shiny.
Yeah, to be honest, even though it was a screener, I was floored at the crispness of, like, every line was crisp. It was all smooth. Yes, you did get some artifacting in the background in certain scenes. But so, I mean, overall, this whole product just absolutely flabbergasted me.
And there's two audio commentaries. We can't forget about those.
That's right.
Brett Ratner and the screenwriters, Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn, their commentary was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. When they're not providing useful information, they jump right into some good, entertaining beats.
That's
no lagging.
They keep the flow of the commentary going so you remain interested. It's one of the few recently that I've listened to from beginning to end.
And when they do go into the play-by-play situation, which everybody hates, it's okay because they always have a valid information point or explanation to justify that play-by-play.
Yeah. And the one aspect that I really enjoyed about that commentary is they pointed out a lot of stuff that was in the background that was a tribute to comic book fans.
All over the place.
The entire movie is a tribute.
Yeah.
And I think that helped me enjoy it a little bit more, too, because a lot of those aspects I didn't notice because I was focusing more on the foreground.
Yeah.
Now, the other commentary, which I ended up turning off, Abby Arad, Lauren Shuler Donner, and Ralph Winter.
Yeah, you can still get some stuff out of it. I don't know if it's worth it, though.
The first commentary was so much fun and so much energy, and then listening to these ones, they're kind of like,
well, maybe that's what
yeah,
we
did. Look, we took 20 years off their face.
Which we heard in the first one. But I think maybe could recommend the viewers do is watch the second one first.
Yes.
And then watch the first one.
That's a good recommendation.
Because personally, if we both turned it off, well, I'll be honest. So we may have missed something, some valuable information.
Later on down the line.
Yeah, because we were, you know, influenced by the first commentary.
All right. So let's wrap this up.
Let's do it.
Buy it. Done.
Complete agreement. Buy it. I don't even think there's a choice. Oh, wait a minute. There is a choice. You can buy the single disc edition, or you can buy the single disc edition with the Stan Lee comic.
That's right. Or you can buy all three in one handy dandy collector's box set. Quick recap of the show. Taps, we recommended. You'll have to decide if you want to purchase or rent this one. Rocky Horror Picture Show, a definite buy.
Definite buy.
Definite buy. Thank You for Smoking. I went with buy. You went with
see it somehow.
And X3, we say buy.
All in all, this is a pretty expensive show for you guys.
If you listen to all our recommendations, yes. I just want to send a special thanks out to the Home Theater Forum once again for helping us get this show off the ground.
Thanks,
iCraveDVD.com for producing the show.
Thanks, Shane.
And as Jeffrey alluded to in his last podcast, vote for us at Podcast Alley or he's going to hunt you down and beat you with a stick. It might be a twig.
Maybe we'll get the Jeffries in on that.
Yeah, we're going to send the Jeffries out on a hunt. So we've made it simpler for you now. We moved the vote option closer to the top of the screen, so you should see it as soon as you log on to the page. And thanks for joining me again, Jeff. This has been a fun show to record.
Oh, I tell you, this show was full of great material.
Now here's Jeffrey with a little preview for his next show.
Well, thank you, Mr. McDonald. We've got another quartet of titles to talk about next time, including a pair of John Hughes classics from the 1980s with Some Kind of Wonderful and Pretty in Pink. We'll also venture into the crime world of Lucky Number 11, featuring a great cast including Josh Hartnett, Lucy Liu, Morgan Freeman, and Bruce Willis. And on this fifth anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy, we'll remember the brave passengers and crew of United 93. That's all coming up on the next DVD Marquee. I hope you'll join us.
You know what we forgot to mention this time, Jeff?
What is that?
We forgot to mention, stay tuned after the credits of X-Men The Last Stand.
Don't move your butt until it gets back to the menu.
That's right. Do not. Do not press anything. Do not get up and go pee. Do not, you know, go get a new bowl of popcorn for movie number two.
It's a must that you remain seated because it sets up something for a potential...
Yeah. If you can decode that, please let us know. Post a comment on the show. We're out.
And we're clear.
All right. Excellent. Excellent.